This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. Good morning on the 30th of July, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com. Coming up, C.J. Miller with the news, including challenges to the confirmation of Richard Fordyce as a USDA Undersecretary of Agriculture. And new agriculture programs are being offered by Huntington University. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for more muggy conditions today and rains on Thursday, then a major shift to comfortable conditions for Friday and the weekend. And yesterday, a repeat, lower corn and bean futures, wheat down two. Mike Castle, Stone X has market commentary on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
What does it mean to farm God's way? It means meeting the basic needs of life through farming, growing food sustainably, and celebrating God's blessings. Join fellow ag professionals, farmers, gardeners, and missionaries for two Farming God's Way training events. Farming God's Way training August 7th through 9th and vegetable training August 11th and 12th. There will be five accredited trainers attending this year's events. The multi-day events are hosted and presented by Agri Stewards and supported by the Hoppert Institute for Agricultural Studies at Huntington University. For information and to register, visit agristewards.org/events. That's agristewards.org/events.
One of President Trump's USDA nominees gets the thumbs up from the Senate Ag Committee and a new international agriculture program at Huntington University. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Richard Fordyce is one step closer to being confirmed as the next USDA Undersecretary of Agriculture for Farm Production and Conservation. The Senate Ag Committee voted this week to advance Fordyce, who also farms in Missouri and was previously in the Trump administration serving as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency. However, Fordyce was challenged during his confirmation hearing last week by senators from both parties. Senator Amy Klobuchar asked Fordyce about the impact of recent staffing cuts at USDA.
I haven't had an opportunity, but will, once confirmed, to dig into the data, understand where those retirements came from, where they're located. But I'm confident, Senator, that we can deliver our mission-critical responsibilities in a very positive way.
Meanwhile, John Bozeman of Arkansas, who is also the Senate Ag Chair, questioned Fordyce about outdated technology that's being used by FSA.
I think I can safely say, and I think others would probably agree, probably some in the room, that a lot of our technologies are woefully old.
He also recognized how challenging and difficult the recent farm economy has become.
It is tough in farm country right now. Certainly, I would be supportive of looking at what authorities we might have at USDA, but you are exactly right. It is going to be a tough go for a little while longer, I'm afraid.
Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, if you're a student who's interested in serving as a farm missionary and sharing the Christian ministry with those around the world, then you'll want to check out a new program from Huntington University.
People are hungry physically and spiritually these days, and what a great opportunity just to walk in that.
And that's Dr. Jessica Graves, who's an adjunct professor at Huntington University. They're offering an exciting new certificate in international agriculture, as well as a master's in business administration with a concentration in international agriculture.
It's unique in that it is a faith-based program. centered around agricultural topics. And more uniquely, it's offered fully online. So students, no matter where they are around the world, have the flexibility, and each class is 7 weeks in length.
She says students will not only learn how to teach others around the world to increase their food supply, but also use that opportunity to teach those in need about the gospel of Christ.
Using agriculture as the vehicle is just, it's very rewarding, but it's also fun to see that agriculture can make such a difference in the world, both physically and spiritually.
In fact, Dr. Graves and a group of ag students from Huntington University recently returned from a mission trip to Guatemala to put their farm knowledge and those practices from the program into place.
We worked with some women in one of the rural communities there, and this particular student was able to share her knowledge of sheep care and management. We taught hoof trimming techniques, and just to see the women there in the community embrace this new knowledge in a way that I know the long-term impacts that it's going to have for livestock production there.
Learn more about Huntington University's new international agriculture program at huntington.edu. You can also find that link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Another muggy day here for your Wednesday. In central and southern Indiana, heat indices may be very, very similar to what we saw yesterday because temperatures are still quite warm and we've got plenty of humidity around. In northern Indiana, might be a little bit different because as we approach midday, I think we see scattered showers try and fill in all across the northern part of the state, lower Michigan down into northern Indiana. They're not huge in terms of a precipitation potential, but they are there, and anything that blocks the sunshine should help with our heat indices a little bit. In terms of statewide moisture, I'm looking at that being more of an issue overnight tonight and then through the day tomorrow. I do think through the midday and afternoon hours, the entire state fills in with precipitation tomorrow. Rain totals can be a little bit large where the rain holds around the longest, so I'm looking at that being in northern Indiana. And I think right now, combined for today through tomorrow, we have to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 2 inches of rain across 100% of the Hoosier state. Now, behind this frontal boundary complex, beautiful weather for the weekend. Strong Canadian high pressure builds in over the Great Lakes and upper Midwest. We see cooler, less humid air in here for Friday, and it's everywhere except, you know what, down in far southern Indiana near the Ohio River, maybe we see some moisture and humidity linger into Friday midday and early afternoon. But up north, we are looking at beautiful weather, and then everybody gets the low humidity, cooler temperatures, and pleasant setup for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The temperatures start to climb a little bit Monday, Tuesday of next week, but I think humidity stays in check for those days. Once we get to midweek, that's where we see some instability, heat-based showers and thunderstorms, and a much higher run at dew points. So we're seeing on again, off again showers and storms for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week combined over the three-day stretch. Once again, an inch and a half of rain can easily fall, and it doesn't go away super quick. We keep that instability around through the weekend and into early next week as well, or the following week, the week of the 11th. And one thing that we're paying attention to is an influence of tropical weather. I think we have a hurricane headed towards the Gulf Coast there early that week of the 11th, so pay attention to that. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
More losses in corn and beans, and the wheat market down on Tuesday as well. This is the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by Purple Wave Auction, where farm equipment finds new life. No reserve online auctions with the local touch you trust and the national reach you need. PurpleWave.com. Sold means sold. Final numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grab that from Mike Castle of StoneX at the end of the session. Markets traded lower throughout the trading session, other than some back and forth action for a while in the soybean futures market, but there is pressure on the markets. Certainly, Mike, the crop ratings didn't help the cause on Monday. Still a very good crop on the whole out there when you look at corn and beans.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, soybeans kind of got the, I guess, more bearish surprise yesterday. Corn ratings did fall the 1% as expected, but obviously sitting at 73% good to excellent nationally, that's still the best rating seen since 2016. So obviously a bit difficult to find anything too bullish about that. Soybeans, though, they rose 2% week on week, now sitting at 70% good to excellent. That is the best since 2020. So again, similar story there. It is worth noting we did see a derecho event come through the Corn Belt, through portions of South Dakota, Minnesota, and most notably in northwest Iowa last night. There were, wind gusts above 100 miles an hour. That's obviously never good news for standing corn. But, I think our immediate callback when we hear that term now is flashing back to August of 2020, when we saw that massive storm wipe out a huge swath of the biggest producing chunks of our biggest corn producing state. And that's not what this event was. And that's not to minimize the impact for those who were affected. Certainly there will be some losses. But again, it doesn't sound like it was anything too major. And, forecasts at this point continue to look pretty much ideal across the board. Obviously coming into August, we're getting into the most critical development month for soybeans. And, we've kind of continued this thing that, kind of sounds like a broken record this year, but these extended forecasts continue to look hot and dry. Everyone gets concerned about it, but then as we pull forward, when we start to get 2 weeks out from this, for example, everything just continues to shift cooler, continues to shift wetter, and it's the same thing that we've seen here in the last few days. So right now, August in general looks very favorable, if not ideal, for pretty much all of the Midwest. So again, that just kind of keeps the supply side looking very heavy, especially when you factor in the fact that we're coming off of back-to-back years of record South American crops. So again, it just kind of keeps this downside pressure on the market here. On a more positive note, we have at least seen some good export data here this week. Corn inspections came in at nearly 60 million bushels on Monday's report. That's, close to double normal for this time of year, but that's been a very common theme. USDA is currently forecasting our exports in the current marketing year on the corn side at 2.75 billion bushels. That would be a record, and we're comfortably ahead of it. We continue to kind of blow past expectations there. And unless something very drastic changes in the next couple of weeks, we should comfortably beat that number and most likely see USDA increase it yet again. And obviously that reduces our beginning stocks for next year as well, which again is certainly welcomed at this point given the expectations for the size of the crop. And the other demand perspective here, the US and China were meeting at Stockholm the last 2 days. Good to see progress there. Good to see both sides chatting. That's obviously better than the opposite, but no major breakthroughs. That was kind of expected, I should say. But it does sound like we're at least getting an extension of the current pause in tariffs. The details as of right now, I've not seen ironed out necessarily, but the expectation is for another 90 days, which would shift that back into mid-November, which could set up for a potential meeting between Trump and Xi. And maybe that's when we see some kind of agreement actually signed closer to the fall. And obviously, the soybean market, probably the one keeping the closest eye on that, given China's importance, not only to our soybean exports, but the entire world's soybean markets. Typically, at this time of year, we would have 150 million bushels of soybeans sold to China for the following marketing year. As of right now, we've got zero bushels of 25-26 beans sold to them. So it's a significant chunk. You really can't overstate how important China is on the export side of things because of just how enormous they are in terms of demand. Obviously good to have the policy support here for the domestic crush industry, increasing demand there, expecting record crush in the upcoming marketing year, expecting to see that continue expanding. but there are still some details to be worked out there. And at the same time, this isn't enough added demand to offset China entirely. So it's another thing to keep a very close eye on here moving forward.
Mike Castle, Market Intelligence and Senior Fertilizer Analyst at StoneX. On the Hat Tuesday Farm Market Review, down in corn, September dips to 3.89 and a quarter, losing 4.5 cents. December down 3 at 4.11. August beans, 9.81 and 3/4, a 7 cent drop. September 3 cents lower. November 10.09 and a half, down 2 cents on Tuesday, and 8 3/4 lower on September wheat, 5.29 3/4. The meats were mixed, strong in the cattle market. August 2.29.72, up $1.85. August lean hogs though, 107.25, down $1.27. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.